So for right now, I am going to go to our scripture reading for today. Let's go to the book of Romans, and I'm going to read chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. And if you do not have your Bible with you here this morning, there are a few Bibles that you are welcome to follow along with me here this morning. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning as I read these verses here to you. Again, I read out of an NIV translation. It might be slightly different from what you have. Verse 8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Let's pray. Father, as we read your word, these words that are from you, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Father, let us learn a little bit more today about what you're teaching us here. Have the Holy Spirit open our hearts to the truths that we need to learn, and open up the truths that we need to remember and go by over these next years of our lives, Lord. Father, thank you for your word. It is the transforming power to transform us from the inside out. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. This is our 31st week in our journey through the New Testament as we go through 2019. And I've titled today's message, Love in a Transformed Life. I said last week that the book of Romans is a very complete book, a very complete explanation of the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The gospel is the power of salvation to all who believe. Now, you might say, well, what exactly is that? What is the gospel? And I have about a 9-part sermon series up on the internet. You can go back and listen to what the gospel is. But when we believe the gospel, it has the power of salvation to transform lives. And when you get to chapters 12, verse 1, through chapter 15, verse 13, the book gives an explanation of what the expectations are of a life that has been transformed by this same gospel. Remember, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation, right? We've always said this. The old has gone and the new has come. We now walk by the Spirit. We no longer walk by the flesh. And one attribute that must be modeled by every Christian as a result of this inward transformation by the Spirit is the attribute of love. Love. What is love? Well, I went on the Webster's Dictionary and found out that love is both a noun and a verb, and I give those definitions inside your bulletin. So let's just go through these real briefly. Love as a noun, it says this: it's a strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties. That's the noun. And the verb is this: to hold dear. Now, there were a lot of different definitions given by Webster for what love is as both a noun and a verb, but I just chose those because they were pretty short, pretty to the point, and we'll probably use those here a little bit later on in the message. So that's our definition of love. Over time, over the millennia, there have been people who have modeled love in a very genuine and a very sincere way. There have also been people who have misunderstood the true meaning of love and have replaced it with their own definition and with their own values. Secular music, you know that I'm a musician, secular music has had many things to say about love over the past 6 decades of music. I have a few song titles here that contain the word love. So let's listen to what some of these secular titles say about love. The Four Aces say that love is a many-splendored thing. Peter and Gordon don't want to live in a world without love. The Dixie Cups want to go to the chapel of love. The Beatles say that money can't buy me love. Bon Jovi says that you give love a bad name. The Supremes say, wow, you knew that one, didn't you? And all I had to do was this. Stop in the name of love. Keith Partridge says, I think I love you. The OJs want to get on the love train. People all the world. Don't get me started. Johnny Lee is looking for love in all the wrong places. The Captain and Tennille say that love will keep us together. Elvis Presley is one big hunk of burning love. Perry Como is a prisoner of love, and Robert Palmer is addicted to love. Nazareth says that love hurts. The Jay Giles Band says that love stinks. The Beatles say all you need is love. Tina Turner wants to know, what's love got to do with it? Stevie Wonder just called to say, I love you. And Foreigner wants to know what love is. I'm sure somewhere in that mix, you may find some redeeming value to the word love. But secular music is certainly no place to search for godly answers. Amen? That's not where we go. So for today, let's look right here in Romans chapter 13 and see what God's word has to say about love and what love has to look like in a life that has been transformed. Let's go back to Jesus in Matthew chapter 22. He was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And when Jesus was asked that, he replied and said this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. But then he said this, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. What two commandments? We are to love God. We are to love our neighbor. If you remember back on our series on the Ten Commandments, which lasted 34 weeks, these are the Ten Commandments, and we said this, that the first four commandments pointed us on how we are to love God. We are to have no other gods, no graven images, commandment two, commandment three, do not take God's name in vain, and commandment number four, we are to remember the Sabbath. But the final six commandments pointed us as to how we are to love our neighbor. We are to honor our father and mother. We do not commit murder, and we do not get angry. We do not commit adultery. We do not steal. We do not bear false witness or tell lies. And we do not covet. And what the Apostle Paul is telling us here in verses 8 through 10 in Romans 13 is how the Mosaic Law, which was an accumulation of do's and don'ts, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, that when we obey those commandments, it is a vivid demonstration of how a transformed life can love by not doing the things that we're not supposed to do. We do not murder, or we do not have anger towards our neighbor, an act of love. We do not steal from our neighbor, an act of love. We do not covet anything that belongs to our neighbor, an act of love. Those are all demonstrations of love when we do and obey the commandments. And Paul says that we fulfill the law when we do these things. Well, but you might say this, but wait, that was the Mosaic Law. We are New Testament Christians. We are not under the law, but we are under grace, and that would be true. But as I've been saying in these last couple weeks, we are not antinomians either. Remember antinomians? Anti, against, nomian, law, we against the law, or no law. Antinomians are people who say they are Christians, who believe we don't have to obey any laws anymore. We are not antinomians. We are New Testament Christians who still must obey the Word of God that is outlined in the New Testament. We have to do the do's, and we better not do the don'ts. And the command to the Christian of love is given throughout the New Testament Scripture. So how can we love if we don't have law? Because that's pretty much what Paul is saying. We love because we do have law. And then Paul goes on in verse 11 and says that the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Now, that might be a little confusing. So what exactly does that mean? To me, it simply means this. Two things. One, we are one day closer to what? Glory. We're one day closer to glory, right? Our salvation is near. We're one day closer to when we're going to leave this place. Our salvation is near. We are closer to that final goal of our salvation. And the final goal of our salvation is the glorification of this corrupt body that we have. And it also means this. Because of that, we must wake from our slumber, which means we must begin to take hold of the things of God. Sometimes we can be in a slumber where we kind of forget the things of God, but we must wake from that. We must take hold of the things of God. Remember, we are not what we used to be. We are no longer of this world. We have been transformed. We are new creations in Christ. And so what Paul is challenging us with is this: where is the love? If you are a life that has been transformed, where is the love? Then he goes on in verses 12 through 14, and he gives a contrast of the old life versus our new life. And he uses these words. He contrasts it with night versus day, and darkness versus light. And in those verses, he places certain vices, and he uses these particular vices: carousing, drunkenness, sexual immorality, debauchery, dissension, jealousy, in the category of darkness, the category of night, of those things that we must put behind us because we are a life that has been transformed. We are no longer to gratify the desires of the flesh, he tells us in verse 14. I mentioned all those songs earlier, and yes, they are just secular songs. But one of those songs that I mentioned was a song from 1955. It was the very first one that I mentioned. It was called "Love is a Many-Splendored Thing," originally performed by a group called the Four Aces. And there was also a movie out that same year with the same title. And I think love can be just that. It can be a many splendor thing. We can be, one, we can be proactive with our love. And so often when we think about loving, we think about the things that we do that are proactive or active. We can show acts of kindness. We can speak words of encouragement. We can give hugs and kisses. We can feed the hungry. We can give drink to the thirsty. We can clothe the naked, and we can visit the sick. We can visit those in prison. We can invite a stranger to come in. And we can provide items that are needed for our local Nelson County Middle School. And we are proactive in our love when we perform these things that I call corporal works of mercy for others. And as Christians whose lives have been transformed by Jesus Christ, we must and should be doing these types of things. We must be proactive. But that is not what Romans 13, verses 8 through 14 is teaching us about love. Sure, love is all of those proactive things. But what are these verses teaching us? We have just one fill in the blank here this morning, and let's look at that and fill that in. Since love is a many-splendored thing, as the song says, our fill in the blank is this. This text is not teaching us to love in what to do, which is okay to do those things, but this text is teaching us to love in what we are not to do. Love is, in this case, love is more passive than what it is active. Well, what does that mean? It's not the things that we do that demonstrate our love. It's things that we don't do that demonstrate our love. And Paul is saying that when we no longer do these things, when we no longer commit adultery, when we no longer murder, when we no longer steal or covet or carousing or drunkenness or sexual immorality or debauchery or dissension or jealousy, which is quite a comprehensive list, or any other vice that we might think of, when we no longer do those things that go against the Word of God, we are actually displaying our love as a life that has been transformed. We are displaying our love for others by actually not doing certain things. When we think of love, we always tend to think of those things that are proactive. I got to do this, I got to do that. And those are all good. But Paul is reminding us that sometimes we love our neighbor when we don't do certain things, when we don't commit murder, when we don't commit adultery, when we don't steal, when we don't bear false witness, when we don't covet. So I ask here this morning, real quickly, is your life a life that has been transformed through the blood of Jesus Christ? And all of you can answer that. But if you answer that yes, it has, I think there is a good chance that we have never thought of how much we could display our love as a transformed life by simply not doing the things that we shouldn't be doing. How easy is that? And Paul says that we demonstrate our love by doing the things that we should be, but most of all in this passage, by not doing the things we shouldn't be doing. So let's be obedient to the laws of God, because we're not antinomians, there is still law. We still have the laws, we still obey them. And by doing so, when we obey God's laws, we let our love shine to others, to our neighbor, and to the people who need to see it the most. Those who are out there still in the night, still in the darkness. So let's let our love shine by refraining from doing the things that we shouldn't be doing. Let's pray.